All right. Take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 1, please. Exodus chapter 1. I want you to skip down to the last verse of Exodus chapter 1 and verse 22. Exodus 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." We'll stop right there, and I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 23. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." I want to talk to you today about Moses' parents, particularly his mother, Jochebed. And we've been in a series of lessons in Sunday school and journeys of faith. And I wanted to save this lesson or preach this message in the afternoon because more parents are in here than during Sunday school. I want to be an encouragement to you, particularly to parents, and a challenge today, but particularly mothers as well. And you know the story of the life of Moses. It wasn't that long ago that we studied out the life of Moses. We read here in Exodus 1 how Pharaoh issued a decree that all baby boys who were born to the Hebrew people were to be killed, to be thrown into the river. Moses, the Bible says, was spared because his parents believed God. By faith, Jochebed and Amram were not afraid of the king's commandment, and they hid Moses for 3 months. And the Bible tells us through the story of Exodus chapter 1, we won't take the time to read all of it, but because of their love and their courage, especially his mother, she placed him in a small waterproof basket, hid him in the Nile River. He was hidden there, being kept safe. And you know the story how the princess, Pharaoh's daughter, came along to the river and she heard this baby crying, and she sends her maids to go find the baby. She sees the baby, takes pity on the child, and all at the same time, Moses' sister Miriam is watching from a distance to see what is going to happen. And she comes to Pharaoh's daughter and she offers to go find one of the Hebrew women to care for this baby. The Pharaoh's daughter says, "Yes, I want you to do that." So of course, Miriam goes and gets her own mother, Moses' mother, to bring to Pharaoh's daughter. She hires her to raise this Hebrew baby for her. And in that, we see that God protected Moses. God provided his own mother to raise and train him, which would be impactful because in time, Moses would follow God's purpose for his own life. And no doubt, the time that Moses' mother spent with him was hugely foundational in his belief and understanding of the one true God. And that's just kind of an overview of where we're going to go in this. We'll probably be here for a couple of weeks. But let me just make a quick application before we get to what I want us to take away from this message. As Christian people, we need to trust the provision of the Lord in our own lives. We need to trust the provision of God in our children's lives in order for us to fulfill the purpose that God has given to us. And as parents, we have the responsibility to protect our children, to protect our homes from the threat of evil in this world, and provide for them a Christ-honoring, loving environment for our kids as we raise them, because eventually they're going to discover God's purpose for their own life. And it's a blessing to me to see that God, from birth, had a purpose for Moses' life. Jochebed didn't necessarily know all that was going to entail. But from birth, God had a purpose for Moses' life. Moses didn't know what that was. But how foundational her influence was in the forming and shaping of his own mind and heart that would ultimately lead to him finding and fulfilling God's purpose for his life. We don't often think of our children in this manner, that God has a purpose for them from birth. And how impactful and influential our lives are and can be for them to find and discover God's will for their own lives. And so what I want us to take away from the message today is number one, ask the Lord to help us to develop a heart to protect our families from Satan's attacks. Number two, to determine to trust God to provide in spite of trials and hard circumstances. We're going to see that in the life of Jochebed and Amram. But then thirdly, ask the Lord for His grace to help us follow His principles for raising our children, because ultimately they are going to need to find out and know God's purpose for them as well. And then lastly, all of us, regardless of whether you're a parent or a young person, we need to choose to identify with God and God's people, regardless of what the world does. And we'll get to some of those things a little bit later on. Today, I want us to just look mainly at Jochebed, and I want to look mainly at the protection that she provided for Moses from the threat of evil, from the attack of Satan, and then how can we do the same in our own life for our own families. And then in the coming weeks, maybe next week, we'll talk about the provision of the Lord and the purpose for Moses or his life to identify with God and God's people. So let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to help us here today. Lord, we do pray that you give us energy this afternoon to pay attention, to stay awake, Lord, to focus on your word, and especially, Lord, parents and young people, Lord, I want to encourage and challenge today, cause us, Lord, to think again on the seriousness of the matter, and Lord, to be willing to make adjustments in our own lives as you would see fit. Lord, may we yield ourselves to you in this short time that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. In our world today, I don't need to explain this to you, but if you look at the media, entertainment, social media, whatever you want to look at, you find that the world belittles biblical family values pretty much at every turn. Specifically, motherhood doesn't get much encouragement from society. The feminist movement, of course, for a long time has deplored the concept of a mom staying at home, caring for her home, for her house, raising her children, and so on. And the same crowd that will so adamantly and militantly fight for abortion rights, they're the same crowd that'll send the message of motherhood as being something undesirable. But in reality, motherhood is maybe one of the most influential things on the planet, as far as a society goes, as far as a family goes. And I think it's really interesting, actually, the push of the culture to denigrate biblical family values, to downplay or minimize or diminish, you know, the role of motherhood and so on. There's been such a push over decades against that. It's interesting to me that if you pay attention, it seems like there's actually a movement that's starting to come back around towards more of family values and more of a biblical roles and so on. And I've seen it on social media. There is a little bit of a push and a turning of the tide in that. And that's a good thing for society, certainly. That's a good thing for culture as a whole. I don't know that the culture can be changed other than obviously through Jesus Christ. But I think it is interesting that things are starting to change and come full circle to more normalize those traditional family values. That's not really the point of all of this. The point is, what do we do as God's people and the responsibility that God has given to us with our families and with the next generation. There's a cute little story told of a school teacher who gave her class of second graders a lesson on magnets and how magnets have the ability to pick objects up off the ground. And so in order to try to help that principle or concept be developed in her class's mind, the next day she gives them a little bit of a pop quiz, and she put it this way. She said, "My name has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I?" Well, when all the test papers came back in, the teacher was surprised to find that almost half of her students answered the question not with the word magnet, but with the word mother. In their minds, mothers pick things up off the ground. There's studies that society has done on the value of what would a mom be paid for all the things that she does for her family, all the different hats that she has to wear in a day or in a year. And these studies have all been done to what would a salary come out to that would be a yearly salary for a mom. And they have all of their studies and they have all their dollar values. But the truth is, the work a mother does is priceless. And the Bible says of a virtuous woman, a godly mother, that her price is far above rubies. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The same chapter, speaking of the same kind of a woman, verse 28 says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. The reason I'm talking about this is because Moses was born into a world of wickedness. Moses was born into a situation in a time when the nation of Israel was in bondage to Egypt, and it was a wicked world. And during that period of history, the Jews suffered. They suffered 400 years in slavery and hardship. And one of the greatest trials and most reprehensible things that happened during that time was when Pharaoh commanded that all the Jewish midwives would kill the male babies that were born to Jewish women. But Moses' mother, Jochebed, did something different. She acted wisely in the face of great danger to herself, and she did it by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it was by faith that she moved. It was by faith that she hid her son 3 months, not being afraid of the king's commandment. And there's a lot to learn from Jochebed and her journey of faith. The first thing that I want us to look at this afternoon is the protection that she gave. Go back to chapter 2 of Exodus in verse 1. Exodus chapter 2 in verse 1, the protection of Jochebed. Verse 1 says, "And there went out a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maidens to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" We find here in the first 5 verses particularly that Jochebed provided protection for her son. She wanted to protect Moses from Pharaoh's evil command to kill all the baby boys. But God's plan in all of this went farther or went beyond just protecting the baby from death. It involved actually giving Moses the foundation that he would need to be a man who could be greatly used of God. And from our text here, we gain a glimpse of Moses' childhood. We gain a glimpse of Moses' mother's faith in all of this, and the beginning of what would be Moses' own journey of faith. We note that she protected him from the threat of evil. Jochebed hid Moses from the evil influences that threatened him. We read in verse 23 of Hebrews 11 that it was by faith when Moses was born that he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper or a goodly child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. The day that Moses was born was a day of wickedness. It was a day of threats. It was a day of threats to eliminate God's people. Pharaoh was planning the extermination of the Jews, but God was preparing something different. God was preparing their deliverance in the protection of this baby boy. God not only saved Moses from death, but he had a special mission that he would have him accomplish, a purpose that was given to him from his birth. He was to be the leader of Israel, and God would be the one to guide him every step of his journey through faith. The part that his mother played was immense. The faith of Jochebed gave her the courage to protect Moses from the threat of evil. And she chose to put her own life in danger in order to preserve and shelter Moses from these threats. God's hand was evident in all of it, of course. This princess felt pity for the child. She further protected Moses from Pharaoh's wicked command by making him her own, and so on. But let me say this to you. Just as Satan attempted to destroy the Jewish race in Jochebed's day, Satan is equally working hard to eliminate future generations of Christians today. Yet even when evil is rampant, God is willing and God is able to protect, to lead God's people on their journey. You and I live in that day. Our children live in that day. There's a future generation that Satan is working to destroy, and how impactful, how important it is for parents to understand that we have a job to protect our children. She protected him from the attack of Satan. Jochebed not only protected Moses from the threats of evil, but she protected him from the direct attack from Satan. What was Satan's purpose in all of this? His purpose was to destroy the entire nation of Israel, out of which the Messiah would come. He was attempting to do that by attacking the family. If all the male children were killed, that would eliminate future generations. But you know, Satan's trying to destroy Christian families in our world today. How so? By turning the hearts of children against their parents, by infiltrating their lives with wickedness of this world. It's an evil day. What we discover and what we learn, listen, human nature hasn't changed, but sin and wickedness and the invention of evil and access to it, that all changes over time. And listen, the things that our kids have access to today are very different than even what I had access to when I was a child. There were some safeguards built in, even in my childhood, that aren't there today. They've got to come from somewhere. Those protections have to come from somewhere. Satan wants to turn the hearts of kids against their parents. He wants to infiltrate their life with the wickedness of the world. He wants to paint a picture and allure them with the pleasures of this world. His tactics aren't any different than even the day that he tried to deceive and allure Eve. He brought the appearance of something that was desirable and something that was pleasurable. And he cast doubt in her mind against the words of God. Satan does the same thing. In this evil day, God is calling parents to be like Jochebed, willing to protect their families from the evil that is so prevalent in our society. And I want to just talk about a few things that we can do, some key ways in which we can protect our children. And by the Lord's help, we'll get through some of these. Number one, I want to be really practical with you. Number one, what we need to do and what we can do to protect our children is learn to set some boundaries. Learn to set up some boundaries. Go to Proverbs chapter 4 with me. Proverbs chapter 4. Many of these will apply to parents of younger kids. They apply certainly to parents of older children. They're applicable all the way around, and certainly things that we should establish in our homes. Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 1, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Here is a father giving instruction to his son. "I was a son one time, and my father taught me, don't let my words pass from you. Listen to what I'm saying, because they're going to be life for you. They will protect you." And the challenge is, I'm giving you good doctrine. Don't forsake my law. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother." What I'm saying here is, you hear words and you see words like law and instruction that are coming from fathers and mothers. And what that tells us is that God places authority in His institutions. The home, the family, is one of God's institutions. The authority in the home is a father and a mother. You have the authority, you have the responsibility, you have the duty to set up some boundaries. As parents, we're required to establish boundaries for our children. And let me just say something here to young people, because maybe this is where it really needs to land. When your parents When they give you good instruction and they set up some standards and they set up some rules and they give you instruction in the things of life, they give you guidelines. Listen, understand this. Those are not designed to rob you of joy in your life. Those are designed to protect you. Young people rebel or get an attitude against their parents, like, "Ah, mom, ah, dad, it's not that big of a deal." And they wonder sometimes, why is this something that, why can't I do this? Or why does it bother you that I want to be this way or that I want to do this? Listen, when parents have some standards and they have some guidelines, they have some rules, those are not to rob you of anything, but they're to protect you so that you can live. Solomon said to his son, "Don't let it go. Listen to what I'm saying to you and live. It's life for you." Yeah. Parents, if we don't set boundaries up and we don't stick to it, We're really opening up the door for all kinds of wicked and evil influence that's going to destroy their life. I would say this to you, another thing that we can do in relation to this is give instruction, not suggestions, to our children. And I'll illustrate it for you in just a minute, but Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." A fool despises instruction. Listen, as parents, we need to learn to give instruction to our kids, not give suggestions to our kids. We're still the authority in their life. I think we've probably all been there a time or two. We want our kids to like us. We want our kids to, you know, to like mom and dad. Maybe we want to be friends and so on. So instead of giving instruction, instead of giving commands to our children, we often give suggestions. For example, it would be something like this. "Hey, do you want to load the dishwasher for me?" That's a suggestion. And the response might be, no, I don't really want to load the dishwasher for you since you're giving me the option. No, instruction and commands go like this. Instead of saying, "Hey, do you want to do this for me?" you say, "Hey, when you're finished with that, I want you to load the dishwasher for me before you do anything else. Do you understand what I'm telling you to do?" We give commands and we give instruction rather than suggestions. It's a big negative if we are because we want our kids to like us, that we don't exert the authority that God has given to us. We need to be the parent, not the friend. Also give instruction about life, about the things of life. You know what? It doesn't have to be constant. It doesn't have to be, you know, where your child feels like they can't do anything right and you're ragging on them all the time. It doesn't have to be micromanaging of a child's life. However, what we need to do is to make sure that we have those lines of communication open. And that everything's not always just do as I say to do because I said to do it. No, we need to have lines of communication open. As we give them instruction, we give them instruction about life in a manner that is helpful, not just because I said to do this, because I want you to understand how it's going to protect your life. Especially when they're getting older. Things change from when they were little. The way that we parent or the way that we communicate changes from when they were really little. It's normal for interests to change. It's normal for a child to want to be, you know, more independent and to think for themselves. Those are normal things. It's normal and natural for things in their body to change. It's normal and natural for their interest in things to change from when they were children to things that are more adult and so on. Nature takes over. We need to be ready to help prepare them. We need to give instruction that will guide them and help them navigate. We want to protect our kids, but you know what? It's not always good to protect them so much that they're living in a bubble. And here's the reason why, because eventually they're going to get out in the world and they're not going to know anything. They're not going to know how to handle this, how to handle that, or how the world works because they've been in a bubble. So what do? We protect them, but we also got to give good instruction that's going to help them navigate through life. Or here's another one. Sometimes parents are always asking their kids what they would like rather than making a good decision and sticking to it because you know it's the best. You understand what I mean? What would you like for dinner? I would like 53 ding-dongs and whatever. Those are candies and cakes and whatever. No. What I'm saying is, rather than asking them what they would like all the time, letting them rule the roost that way, parents need to make decisions, to set boundaries, to give good instruction. How many of you have been here? You want to give some grace in your child's life, but you end up giving warning after warning after warning without ever actually following through on a threat. Does that make sense? Like, I want you to go do this. Johnny doesn't do it. Hey, I want you to go do this. Still doesn't do it. Still playing his video games, whatever. Hey, I told you twice already, I want you to go do this. I'll go do it. And okay, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it, Mom. And what we end up doing is giving warning after warning after warning until we get to the point where we just blow up. How many times do I have to tell you to whatever? I think the average parent will admit that when it comes to giving warnings, we do it too often. Meaning that we haven't trained our children, I told you to do this, go do it. And if you don't, and when you don't, there's consequences for our actions. You know what? That's how the world works. Sometimes people can't even keep a job because they don't know how to respond to people. They don't know how to take orders. They don't know how to be instructed. Sometimes parents will say, well, I don't want to be too strict. I don't want to be too strict with my kids. Let me remind you of something. Strictness does not ruin your children. Harshness is what ruins your children. Parents who are strict but who do it lovingly and with purpose do not ruin their kids. They protect their kids. And as parents, we must ask God for wisdom to have some boundaries and some rules and some strictness in order to protect, but not harsh in what we do, not harsh in what we say as we strive to protect them from the influences of the world. Not only do we need to give some instruction and learn to set some boundaries, but we really ultimately need to set a good example. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul writing to Timothy, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. What a testament to Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother, who were an example of godliness in his life, and it translated into his own. May the Lord help us not to be the do as I say, don't do as I do type parents. We talked about hypocrisy this morning in the 11 o'clock hour. We set the example. And the example that we set, parents, is going to translate to our kids. But here's usually what happens. If you set a standard here for your life, right here, typically your children are going to be right here. That's typically how it works. The example that you and I set is critical in the direction that they go. Let me say this as well. Children may not always do as you say, but they will almost always do as you do. In making an effort to protect our children from Satan's attacks, it's imperative that we maintain, and Lord help us with this, that we maintain a consistent and godly example before them. Lord help us with this. I've seen this more times than I want to admit or that I can even probably count. That's maybe a bit of an exaggeration, but you get the point. Kids grow up in Christian homes. They grow up in the church. They grow up in the youth group. All well-meaning, all Bible truth, they turned 18 years old, and like, I cannot wait to get out. Mm-hmm. Why? Many times, and probably the great majority of times, is because what they hear preached at church, what they hear taught in Sunday school, and what they see lived at home are two different things. There's inconsistency and hypocrisy. And they think, if that's really what it's about, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want any of that. I want to do my own thing. May the Lord help us to set the right example, that our children see our love for God, our love for truth, our commitment to it, and that they realize they don't and cannot make it on their parents' coattails or their parents' faith, but they see that it's genuine in us so that they want to embrace it for themselves, that it becomes my faith and my God. It's imperative that we maintain a consistent and godly example. And listen, there's nothing wrong with admitting, you know what, I've been a little lax here in this. But I'm sorry for that, and Lord, I want you to help me to be more consistent. We ought to have that kind of heart. Not a heart that looks across the room and says, well, what about you? No, let's look right here. Lord, help me. Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, Paul writes, saying, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil. Here's another thing that we can really help with, is being wise to that which is good and simple to that which is evil. You know what? The world's doing a really good job at advertising to our children. Advertising all that is evil. And sadly, there's a lot of young people who are very knowledgeable about the wickedness of our day. I remember driving a bus, a school bus, and listening to those middle school kids and listening to them talk, listening to what's going on in their life, and I'm just like, in my ears, but I was also amazed and shocked. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I'm glad I don't know what it is, but then I had to go look at what it was. And I'm mortified, horrified at some of the things that our this generation, this young generation knows. And may we do our part as parents to uplift and teach that which is good and protect them against those evil influences of that which is bad. Maybe I need to do a better job myself about protecting my kids from the things that they have access to right at their fingertips, or do a better job about knowing what's going on, what they're talking about, who they're talking to. It's a dangerous world. A very dangerous world. And the things that can be innocent, that get snuck in there, even in something that's innocent. Just watching a YouTube video on how to do this, and all of a sudden, bam, right in front of them, here comes this. How do we safeguard against that? Well, we teach them the Word of God. May they know more about the Word of God than they do about the world. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, turn over there. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. Here's God's command given to Moses to give to the people. And he says in verse 5, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware by unto the fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. He says, the words that I'm giving you, they need to be not just for you, but they need to be taught to your children diligently. And when you teach them diligently to your children, it influences their life, but it helps you remember it as well, to live by it, so that you don't forget the Lord. Teaching God's word to our children is essential. And again, principles that we're not unfamiliar with. The Bible, of course, is our sword. The Bible is our main source of protection against the evil of this world. And in Deuteronomy here, we find the command to diligently teach our children from the Scriptures. What would you describe, or how would you describe your teaching of the Word of God to your kids? Would the word diligently be in there? Would it be described as purposeful? Or perhaps an adjustment needs to be made for the sake of our kids and their protection? Let me just give you one more real practical thing. Ways that we can help and protect our children, not only setting boundaries, not only giving good instruction, not only setting the right examples and being wise to that which is good and simple to that which is evil, teaching them the Word of God, yes, all of those things. But here's another one, and a most important one. We need to learn to say I'm sorry to our kids. Not only to say I'm sorry, but also to practice forgiveness as well. It is a sad shame when adult children want to have nothing to do with their parents, and one of the main things that they say is they could never say I'm sorry. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know what brings security to our kids? When we mess up, or we lose our temper, or we're not listening like we should listen, what brings security to them is when you say, you know what, honey, I'm sorry. I reacted wrong to that. I'm sorry for maybe how I acted in the past toward you. I'm sorry that I didn't listen to understand where you were coming from. May our children always rest in the security of not only seeing their parents are humble, but then also experiencing the forgiveness of their parents. May they know that their parents are not too proud to come and ask for forgiveness. It wasn't that long ago. And it struck me, and I saw it. I saw it like I'd never seen it before. And I was ashamed of it, actually. It was just a simple conversation. It was a simple memory that was brought up. But it highlighted something that had an impact in my own kids that I did not realize. And one of the girls brought it up, and then she wasn't complaining about it at all. It was just part of a conversation. It's just like, hey, remember when you used to do this, Dad? When we were misbehaving or not paying attention or whatever. And I laughed at it. I was like, oh, yeah. But I thought about it. And I was like, I can't believe I did that. And I went back to all the girls in the house. And I said, you know what? I'm sorry for doing that. That I did those things or treated you that way. I see it now that there would have been a better way. And they were like, oh, it's okay, Dad. It's okay, Dad. And I experienced their forgiveness. But it took them to open up my understanding. But it took the Lord to humble me, to say, go say you're sorry for that. And I'm glad the Lord is gracious. I'm glad it didn't, at least I don't think so, permanently damage them. But we need to learn, as parents even, we're not always right. And sometimes they do have a point. And one of the worst things that we could do is not listen to them with understanding. It doesn't mean they're always right either. But one of the worst things that we could do is not learn to say, I am truly sorry. You know, we've experienced the Lord's forgiveness and how we thank the Lord for the forgiveness that He's shown to us. But we need to also express that same need of forgiveness of others at times and then grant the forgiveness as well to our children. May they rest in the comfort and the protection that our forgiveness toward them can also provide. Jochebed was diligent in her actions to protect Moses. This is as far as we're going to get today. But the Bible says that because she saw that he was a proper or goodly child. You know, God has given us goodly children. Amen. And because Moses' parents took God at his word, they hid him, knowing God would fulfill his word to them, and God did. God proved himself faithful in time. And as Christians, we also need to trust the provision of the Lord to seek to fulfill his purpose given to us. And as parents, we need to protect our homes from the threat of evil, provide that God-honoring, loving environment that our children can grow up in so that they can discover God's unique purpose for their own lives. Jochebed's faith was critical in what was going to develop in her son. Next time we'll talk about the provision of the Lord. And we'll talk about how we may fail at times because we're sinful people. But God is gracious and God has a way of providing and God has a way of filling in the gaps where we're deficient. If we're conscientious and if we're asking the Lord for His help, God provides. And God works in their lives in a way that we never could. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. And then we'll talk about the purpose that God had for Moses. And it all stemmed from his mother's faith. May the Lord help us to see the nature and seriousness and soberness of the days we live in and how important it is. to protect our kids. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you help us now in this moment and